President Trump called for protests that would be peaceful and patriotic. He got labeled a national security threat. Yet the gentlelady from California can call on her supporters to get physical and in the faces of Republicans, and she gets the chairmanship of the Financial Services Committee. Democrat members of Congress raised funds for groups attacking our police, burning our cities, destroying our businesses, establishing autonomous zones, and they were celebrated as justice warriors. Wednesday, they called for unity, democracy, and healing. Now, just days later, seeking power and political advantage, the Democrats have reverted to the mean. They've gone back to their natural state, the party of impeachment, removal, and division.
While I know most of you were hoping that 2021 was going to bring some relief to the chaos that ensued over the last year, unfortunately, history is not going to remember this era very well, as we have already had a very rough start to what is seemingly going to be an intense year of political chaos, turmoil, and social and civil unrest. Now, like most of you guys, I am under immense pressure right now from some of the most powerful institutions and people that are currently in this country. I'm not going to lie. I have not been sleeping well. My nerves have been very high. I've been overwhelmed beyond degree as I've been getting hit at every front, being attacked by Hollywood members, by powerful journalists. I would say, you know, elitists in the media, people in Congress, and yes, even some of our intelligence community. But I will let you know this, that as we seek to bring you the truth here at Blaze TV and at Slightly Offensive, I'm not wavering. I'm not going to give up, and we're going to continue to produce this show no matter how hard they try to take us down, because we believe that the truth is the best form of reality, and that where entertainment and the narrative lies, we can come in and provide you guys with another angle, which is the truth. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive, which is the best worst show on Blaze TV. My name is Elijah Schaefer. I'm one of your probably least favorite hosts here on the network, but you know, probably one at least ninth or 10th favorite out there. Most people in the media are absolutely full of so that's not too hard to do. I'm joined in the studio today with my producer and my guest, Savannah Hernandez, who is with me at the Capitol, not inside the Capitol, I want to clarify, to help me break down some of the stuff that's happening today. Savannah, you're always on the show technically, but welcome to the camera.
Yes, thank you for having me on. I'm glad I get to be here with you today because we've had a hell of a week. And I think you and I have both watched as this narrative has been completely just spun a completely different way from what we actually personally saw and reported on. So I'm glad that we are getting to talk about this today.
Yeah, and I know that while I'm getting a lot of persecution from pretty much every journalist that's out there, people trying to strip my credentials, people trying to put me in prison. I mean, the attacks are absurd, yeah. But I'm not surprised, except for the fact that, you know, we are going to be breaking down a lot of what actually is happening right now, because I don't think history is going to remember this accurately. Mm-hmm. I think that the institutions of this country fell a long time ago. And, you know, I have this tweet actually from Jack Posobiec. He's a journalist with OAN, and he sort of encapsulated this era very importantly here, which is they aren't impeaching Trump again as punishment, because they're currently impeaching him for a second time. They're doing it to send a message to anyone else outside the club who might get the idea that they can run for president ever again. Meaning the populist era is not just ending, they're trying to seal it in a coffin and let people know that if you are not a political insider, even if you're a journalist and you're not in the mainstream media elite, we will crush you. We will cement your reputation and your place in history as being that of chaos, turmoil, and yes, even saying that you were close to Hitler. And I mean, that's what they're trying to do today. That's what I believe we're experiencing, is an intentional rewriting of history.
Definitely. And, you know, people always quote the book 1984, which we know is this dystopian novel about how basically Big Brother rewrites history so that it basically says what they want it to say, brainwashes people, and rewrites the entire narrative. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And it's been a very difficult week for a lot of conservatives. It's been difficult for us. It's been difficult for, you know, people in various aspects of America right now, because we're all experiencing this right now. People have lost jobs. We're being completely wiped off of social media. We don't have a voice anymore. You know, right now we're seeing President Trump Bill de Blasio is saying that they're not going to be doing business with him anymore. We're seeing all these businesses and organizations that are pulling away from conservatives, not allowing them to be a part of civil society anymore. And it's just this huge blatant attack from all angles. And we're also seeing them rewrite this entire narrative like we're talking about. And it's very sad.
Yeah, well, guys, we are going to get into the actual timeline that I helped construct with the New York Times. We're going to actually correct the overarching narrative. We're going to explain to you what the federal government is doing now to crack down and charge people who were involved, as well as an update what's happening with the show here. But first, I want to give a huge shout out to, honestly, the best armor company in America. Sav, you and I both own AR-500 armor. We both trust it with our lives. Yeah. You know that. I know that. We have helmets. We have flak jackets. Pretty much everything that you can think of. Stab vests. But guys, I'm going to let you know that the day of the Capitol siege, I wasn't prepared for a riot to happen. But what I did do is I put on my bulletproof Kevlar vest from AR500.com. And what's really important is that this armor company represents not only myself, but many Americans who are prepared for civil unrest or anything that might happen. If the Capitol siege and the riots do not let you know that violence can break out at any moment, do not wait to be prepared for what goes ahead. I cannot stress this enough. If you go to AR500armor.com, that's AR500armor.com/offensive, you can use my code, you can get 20% off your entire purchase. Please, I'm asking you now, don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait until civil unrest breaks out and you're left without the first line of defense. Get a bulletproof vest, buy them for your family, have them on supply. Go to AR500armor.com/offensive, get 20% off your order. And please, like I said, luckily that day I was wearing my vest and shots were fired, and I know my life was protected, at least my vital organs, because I trusted that armor. And if I can trust them, I believe you should too. So let's go ahead and let's talk about this. So they're rewriting the history, and we know this because coincidentally, social media is not only banning pretty much any image or video that is from the Capitol that day, but specifically we're finding out that they are not banning the violence or the destructive videos that show Trump supporters committing crimes. They're banning a different kind of content, and you became a victim of that.
Definitely. So I woke up this morning on my Instagram, and as you know, we like to go live on our Instagram. We like to post our videos onto our Instagram of what we are witnessing when we're on the ground at these events. We posted what we saw on January 6th, and a lot of the posts were people, you know, using barriers to push back against police, people getting flashbanged, maced, fighting with cops. All of the bloodiest clips on my Instagram are still up. But the one clip that I put up, the one clip of Trump supporters all stomping and chanting USA, and it ended with a pan of the crowd of 1,000 Trump supporters or thousands of Trump supporters peacefully at the Capitol. That post was the one that Instagram decided to remove from my account this morning, saying that it was removed for violence or dangerous organizations. Again, all of the clips with actual violence in them are still up on my page. But the one clip showing that these people were peaceful, you know, because there's two sides to this situation. Yes, there was violence that day, but there was also thousands there that were rallying peacefully. That was the clip they decided to remove.
Yeah, and we have to remember that they used the phrase during the BLM riots, these were mostly peaceful protests.
Yep.
And I know people give me flack for mentioning specifically this was mostly peaceful, but it was mostly peaceful. And that's because there's a huge distinction between, well, I don't know, rioters, people who were fighting for revolution, people who were, you know, I don't know, an insurrection, whatever you want to call them, seditionists, or just people who looked like they were taking a tour of the Capitol building and came in through open doors as police let them in. I mean, that was a small percentage of the people that were there. But what they're doing, Ryan Fournier had the same problem, where they are attacking people who are showing the peaceful side, including the initial rally. And they're saying that that's promoting terrorists, which aligns with Congress's attempt to say that any rally that's a MAGA rally, they have legislation. We talked about this in the last episode. They're trying to say that MAGA gatherings are terrorist gatherings. And by this assumption that peaceful people gathering in the Capitol are hateful and terrorist organizations is already a very bad start in the history books of saying that they will remember this entire event as a gathering of intentional terrorism, when in reality it was a march and some people committed acts of as they're accusing of terrorism. I definitely witnessed some very severe crimes that I would condemn, violent assaults of officers, including one that led to an officer's death, some that have led to hospitalizations. I mean, there's very serious things that need to be condemned in all of this, but what they're trying to erase is anything that could make this look anything less than a, like, everybody's equally responsible. people.
And that's what's the most frustrating part about all of this, Elijah, because you and I have watched all of the compilations, and I'm so glad that people are making these now, of CNN literally standing in front of a fire as cities burn down, saying, oh, it's mostly peaceful here. Some fires have broken out, but for the most part, it's mostly peaceful. They are taking down our reporting like we were standing in front of cops getting their faces punched in and saying, there's just a couple of peaceful people at the Capitol today. It seems that some people just wanted to have their voices heard. And as you guys can see, this is a mostly peaceful event as there's tear gas and flashbangs going on. No, we have always made it our goal to report faithfully on both sides of things. We say when there's violence, we say when there's peace. And with Black Lives Matter and Antifa, we do the exact same thing. And it's very frustrating that we have the entire mainstream media, entire big tech, corrupt politicians as well, erasing the narrative that there were peaceful people there that did want their voices heard. It's very disheartening because we have a huge disinformation and slander campaign against every single Republican and conservative in this country right now.
Yeah, and I think that we have to bring up the opposite of that, because what Instagram and these sites tend to do is they tend to erase our videos that showcase the violence at BLM protests, and they leave up the peaceful ones.
Exactly.
And we're seeing the opposite, to where the social media companies are taking down the images of the peaceful part. And I'm saying this, look, this was definitely ended in violence and chaos, and I do
not deny
that or even support that was an honorable thing to do. I don't believe knocking out a Capitol police officer makes you a noble person. Mm-hmm. And I think but we need to be able to tell history accurately, and that's why I think our work is so critical in these day and age, because you know it's like this show started as somewhat of a political like equivalent of a daytime nighttime comedy like show, like The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, but in the daytime. And we would go out and just talk to people and use humor to try to relay politics to the average person. And because it was kind of funny, and there was this fight between SJWs and MAGA people, and
back in the day when you could go to a man on the street and it was, you know, more lighthearted politics. But we've gotten into such a serious age because of this disinformation.
Yeah, exactly, where we can't be funny anymore, and because there's nothing funny about what's going on in the country. I mean, yes, I'm still a C-minus level comedian, I always keep that title, but I mean, when we look at this, you saw these images that just came out from the Capitol today. Mm-hmm. These are insane images. These are actual breaking news images that were released of what the inside of the Capitol building looks like ahead of the inauguration. You're looking at potentially thousands of military personnel. I'm assuming these are National Guard, near statues, fully armed. I mean, they have taken up every single square foot of this building and stationed it with an army. And I know breaking news just came in a moment ago that they've upped the amount of troops inside of the Capitol building and around the area. They went from 10,000 to 15,000. Today they're upping it by 20,000. What the hell do they think happened that day? What do they think is going to happen that you need 20,000 troops? Because this looks like they believe that we're in a state of war. I mean, this is what I would expect if we were in the middle of war.
Right. And also, we have to compare too. Look how quickly the response was to Wednesday versus, again, remember when low-income housing was torched to the ground in Minneapolis? Remember when people were getting killed in Kenosha? For 9 months, we watched the D.C. Capitol was on fire. We all saw those images, and people were sharing them saying, hey, look what happened January 6th. Just kidding. This was actually when BLM came and destroyed our city. We saw all of that happen, and we saw the response, and it was not even close to what we're seeing with this. So again, the phrasing of trying to push this labeling of domestic terrorism on Trump supporters and conservatives after January 6th and the response to it versus what we saw with BLM and Antifa is so entirely different. And also, isn't Joe Biden's inauguration supposed to be virtual as well? So why did they feel the need to have all of these troops here at the Capitol? Just for another siege or?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, my question is the FBI had information that there was going to be a Capitol siege. Mm-hmm. These people are a few days
before,
people are a little too late.
Yep.
So my question is, where were these troops when they had information that this place was under siege, that it was going to be attacked? Mm-hmm. Well, this is where I'm afraid about writing history. Is this is being written like this was a off the cuff attack by people that were just angry and the Capitol police were taken off guard. But what we're seeing is something possibly much more nefarious. And I don't think there's enough evidence evidence to prove this was an inside job. I'm not going to go there and say I can guarantee, but I can guarantee that there were some people who were working to allow this to happen, right? I don't know if this was a universally coordinated attack that, you know, the left is saying Donald Trump knew about it and he ordered it and told the FBI to withhold the information from Capitol Police. The right is saying that Donald Trump didn't know about this. The FBI held the information from him so it would make him look bad. Look, I'm not part of the FBI. I don't know. If I was a part of the FBI, I'd probably be retired now and have a job at CNN. But the thing is that we see that some of this, some of the issues in history of recording this event for what really happened is this. I found this interesting article from the Boston Globe. Now, Ayanna Pressley is a representative. She's part of the squad. She's bald. She's not bald for feminism. She has alopecia, a hair loss sort of disease, I believe it is.
Okay, so she good. Shaves. I was like, wait, why are we bringing up that she's bald?
Well,
okay.
I'm saying she shaves her hair. Right, people give her she's very noticeable, right? Because I don't have an image of her. She says that during this event, that listen to this quote. She says, while they were invading the office, I don't know why this isn't on the mainstream news, but you get it here, guys. Every panic button in my office had been torn out. The whole unit. She said, though they could come up with no rationale as to why, she had used them before and hadn't switched offices since then. And as they were escorted to several different secure locations, Graw and Pressley and her husband tried to remain calm and vigilant, not only of rioters, but of officers they didn't know or trust, she said. So she is bringing out the point, and AOC said this on her live stream too, that they were nervous and they had a brush with death, like meaning they, because 84% of law enforcement voted for Trump, that there is a distrust inside of Congress, she's saying, of the law enforcement inside the building,
right,
thinking that they might have been involved in an inside job. And she's alluding here that not only was her panic button ripped out, which shows you this is showing there's somebody on the inside working either to put her in a compromised position, which is true, or maybe law enforcement was involved in removing this, meaning she's pointing out, I don't feel safe inside of Congress, even with law enforcement, because I think people on the inside were either involved with this directly or sympathetic to the cause. And that brings up the fact that they're trying to say this is all just, you know, a bunch of random Trump supporters' faults. Yes, a lot of them committed the crimes, but my point is that we need to be asking ourselves as journalists how we're a bunch of mostly unarmed people with rocks and flags able to break into the second most secure building in America. And why when we're seeing this response now to the siege that happened, when they knew this was going to happen, the FBI had the reports, and when Congress people even realized, oh my gosh, this appears to be an inside job, are we not talking about this?
Exactly. And again, too, we can for sure say that the DC mayor, Muriel Bowser, knew about this 24 hours before because Capitol Police came forward and were saying that she knew about it, that the police, you know, did not have enough people. And you and I saw that in the police officers' eyes as thousands of people came to the Capitol. We saw the look in their eyes as they knew they were about to be overrun, that they didn't have the backup that they needed. We knew that the FBI had the knowledge that this was going to be a very big event, and none of the precautions were taken. And also, you know, going back to your point too about how these congresswomen feel like they can't trust the Capitol Police in Congress or in that building, you know, these are the women that have been calling for defunding of the police for the past 9 months, and that is why the police force was so severely understaffed that day too, because, you know, we had talked to inside sources and they were saying that the police force has been severely diminished since the BLM riots, since people were calling to defund the police, since there's been such a huge attack on police. So, you know, you have all of these differing factors, and that's what we need to really look at, is all of these different angles too, because again, everyone just keeps trying to say that January 6th was insurrectionist and that was it. That's the whole entire thing. But let's also look at the angle that police were letting people into the building at some point. There is that on video. That is also another angle to this. Police were saying, okay, go into the building, don't mess anything up. So you have the one side where people were pushing back against police. It was a bloody battle. They were trying to break down the windows to get in. And then you have the other side where people walked in because they were allowed to by police.
Right. And it makes me wonder, like, and one of the main indicators that I start to question if there was inside collusion involved in this is when the media intentionally gaslights in an opposite direction, right? In a story, when this is the problem we've had when we witness these events, we always get flack. I particularly am a big target, apparently, for the media, because I think that, as Andy Noah, another journalist, said, is that we've posed a real threat as independent journalists and as the media, that we are telling a different narrative. Meaning people who say, why do I use narrative? I'm saying, because it's like our word against theirs, but we have the video footage that supports us. They gaslight and they change the arguments about not what actually happened, but about whether or not I should have used the word revolutionary in my tweets. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like how, like we talked about this, how in Kenosha, rather than talking about why there was a terrorist attack allowed to happen on US soil, they started talking about whether or not Kyle Rittenhouse is a white supremacist or not. And you're like, how did that become the gaslighting conversation from this? Like, why is the argument about this event what we're talking about? And it's not about whether or not there were people inside the federal government that are working, deep state actors, I would even say, even if they were working for or against the right wing, whether this was a setup or this was an attempted coup or a failed revolution. I would say, why aren't we talking about the fact that people in the government assisted in this? And how is that not one of the main areas of conversation?
Right. And I think you and I both got into this for that main reason. We wanted to be independent journalists and go out on the ground and actually show the public what was going on, because the media refuses to do it. And again, too, I want to bring this back to the point of, people say, oh, your Twitter account got deleted, your Instagram got deleted, big deal, who cares? But what they don't realize is that when we get deleted and we get silenced and our footage gets taken down, it's really a huge, you know, it's like, it's bad for them. It's bad for Americans, because they're taking away their own ability to access this knowledge on the ground of what is being actually shown and what is actually being said on the ground. Mm-hmm. We are trying to show the truth. We put up a video clip and say, hey, this is what happened. You do what you will with it. The media, on the other hand, is spinning a narrative. They're saying, they're speculating on things and they're reporting on it as news. Meanwhile, we're being silenced because all we are trying to do is go on the ground and show people what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. And like you said, that is a huge threat. That's why my Twitter account was deleted. That's why they're trying to take you off of Instagram and Facebook. That's why
they deplatformed me.
Yep.
I've been successful. They've demonetized this entire YouTube channel. Just reminding you guys, you can sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah. That's the easiest way to support the show. And if not, you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes. You can subscribe on Spotify. Those are free ways to help. It really is important, because they have taken away most avenues that monetize this. So we are directly being supported by you guys, and for those advertisers that are 100% supporting true journalism and the truth, and we really appreciate that. So I thank you guys forever. It doesn't go unnoticed. But like when I talk about the gaslighting and the moving away from this, I mean, think about this. You know, it says here at BuzzFeed News. Well, let me clarify real fast. We got our Facebook and Instagram back, and we're working on the other areas to get back, which is why, as you guys support Blaze, Blaze is directly supporting us. They've got our backs, you know, through this. And that's what I'm telling you guys. Blaze is a company to support, because they're supporting us. Like, they really are. I mean, even Glenn Beck, I mean, we just got done talking to him out in public right now. And he was just saying, hey, I got your back. Like, I'm with you, and it's going to be tough, and they're going to come after you. But he said, you know, we stand with you. We stand together. And that's why I tell people, you know, the people who work here, the people who founded the company itself, these people back us up. And as you support them, we feel that support.
And I would say too, that's why it is so important to get the Blaze subscription, because, you know, we shouldn't be driving traffic towards YouTube or Facebook or Instagram or Twitter anymore. We should be driving traffic towards these platforms who are actually intent on sharing free speech and real news. You and I go out on the ground, we work our off, quite frankly, to report true and real news. Blaze backs us, and hopefully the American people who are truly, you know, standing for free speech and the First Amendment will back Blaze too. And that's why it's important to actually, you know, again, bring the traffic and bring just everyone to this platform, not to these other platforms that are trying to silence us.
Yeah, I know. And that's my point is that after we've talked about all this, we have the evidence that's out there. BuzzFeed News releases, this is their assumption on this. They said, black police officers describe the racist attacks they faced as they protected the Capitol. Like, they've turned this, listen to this. This is such baloney. It's like, the first glimpse of the deadly tragedy that was about to unfold came at 9 a.m. in the morning of the insurrection for one black veteran of the U.S. Capitol Police, but it didn't come from his superiors. Instead, the officer had to rely on a screenshot from Instagram sent to him by a friend. He's quoted saying, I found out when they were planning what they were planning when a friend of mine screenshot me an Instagram story from the Proud Boys saying, "We're breaching the Capitol today, guys. I hope y'all are ready." The officer who asked to remain anonymous out of fear of retaliation from his superiors. Now, this is interesting because he's saying that he knew that it was going to get breached before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So they did have knowledge this was going to happen.
Yep.
This officer is admitting this. And there's nothing in this tweet that says that the Proud Boys were trying to kill black officers. And we know the number one officer who died, officers, is it Sicknick? Or Shinnick, I'm sorry if I'm messing that one up, but the officer who tragically died in an altercation with these people and collapsed in his office and died from injuries later, he was a white officer. So, you know, if this entire Capitol Hill siege was to kill black people, I'll be damned, because black people weren't killed in it. So it was the most unsuccessful racist raid in history. And, you know, it's like one thing, why don't you make this about, maybe you can make this that this is about, you know, populist people against the feds or against the state.
Right.
And they, you know, saw officers as dispensable parts of the state. And they were okay with killing officers. You could make any argument you want, but pulling this out, even NBC was like, showed a video and they're like, "Watch this harrowing video as a black officer fends off a mostly white crowd." And I go, this moment had nothing to do with race, because there was black people in the crowd. This was not a race. This was not about race baiting. And the gaslighting of trying to make this about racism, when it's like, okay, fine, talk about race. But Ayanna Pressley, speaking of race, here's a black congresswoman, is saying she thinks that perhaps certain people in the chamber that are a part of law enforcement were sympathetic to the cause, could have turned on Congress. And she also believes that somebody ripped out their panic button console and were setting them up to be killed. Regardless of her skin color, why don't we talk about there? If you want to talk about race and targeting, maybe she was targeted for her race. I don't know. But why don't we talk about, that's more important than making up some like BS at the end of all this, like this was somehow meant to target black people. No, this was people targeting the Capitol building, and or some people genuinely wanted to execute members of Congress or at least arrest them. And that's what I saw when I saw people at the front. Again, I did not break windows. I did not break down doors. Police, I did not have problems getting past police with my credentials. People went in. I saw them fighting police officers. Other entrances, people were being allowed in.
You were there to document it like a reporter.
I was documenting this like a reporter. But like, there was nothing that cued to me that anybody was like, "Oh, I want to kill the black members of Congress." They were like Schumer and Pelosi.
And that's the most frustrating part of all of this too, Elijah. And honestly, every single time the media twists a narrative, again, they always use race because they want to keep us divided. They don't want America unified. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris don't want America unified, which is why they immediately came out and said, "Well, if this was Black Lives Matter at the Capitol, it would have been very, very different." Mm-hmm. They want us racially divided. And the media right now is intent on distracting everyone on the true realities of what this event was about and what actually happened, which is why they're bringing all of these weird narratives about race and all of the, again, speculation. They were not there. We were there. And that's my favorite part about the media, is that they love reporting on things that they weren't even actually at. And then they use your footage while demonizing you to do it. So again, this is speculation. This wasn't about race. You and I saw it. We were there. We were in a huge crowd of extremely diverse people who were all there and wanted to have their grievances heard. And again, too, you know, we're seeing this narrative pushed by the media that this was because of the election. And the media refuses to touch on the fact that, hey, maybe this is because people have been locked down for a year. Maybe this is because the entire economy was destroyed. Mm-hmm. Maybe this was because Trump supporters, Republicans and conservatives, have been the target of political harassment, political violence for the past 4 years. Maybe that has a little something to do about it. But no, the media is trying to say this was the election, and this is why we need every single Trump supporter silenced and Trump himself wiped off the face of the earth, because he's dangerous, and it's just the election. There's nothing else that has to do with this.
Guess who's back on my good list? Ilhan Omar actually did good recently.
Oh, what did she do?
She came out and said that the response to this can't be a clampdown on political opposition and some establishment of a police state. She goes, that's not the answer to this issue. She goes, we can't just like crunch down on political opposition and then make our country a, you know, authoritarian police state. And,
yep,
you know, glad that a Democrat is finally speaking some sense, because, you know, AOC is, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, calling actually for mass censorship, gulag style approach to everybody who supports Donald Trump. Many are calling for re-education in camps. But before we jump into that, including the actual official timeline that brings up some interesting questions, I want to remind you guys that during this siege, multiple people were killed. I know they say that one was killed and some died from medical emergencies. No, somebody was shot by a beanbag, from my understanding. I don't know if they died. They broke their arms. They were bleeding out. I saw people's cheeks ripped open. Ashley Babbitt, is that how you say her name? Mm-hmm. She was shot. And I just kept asking to myself, if only there was actually people who had, you know, medical kits, even medics, or if the tactical teams had the right medical kits, then people wouldn't have died, including perhaps even if that officer had the protection. But you yourself, guys, you don't know when this stuff's going to break out. This started out as a peaceful rally and it turned into an insane, what the media is calling insurrection. That's why I want to tell you guys about this BareFac. It's the best American made medical kit. And this is not just about preparing for unrest. Guys, please keep one of these in your car. If you work a job, you need one of these on you. I keep one on me at all times in my car. It's with my wife right now. I keep one in my backpack. Go to refugemedical.com. Use my code offensive to get 15% off your best medical kit in America, which has over 28 of the best pieces, including a tourniquet, stab treatment. It has clotting material in case you get shot. It has patches for your chest in case your lungs are popped. I have been around so much death and stabbings at just normal events. Guys, please protect yourself. Please protect those around you. Don't wait till your kids' lives are on the line and you can't do anything about it. Tell your wife, tell your friends, even yourself. Get one right now. Go to refugemedical.com. Use my code offensive for 15% off. And I'm telling you, these guys are great. They love America. I always give them extra airtime because it's not just an ad. These people support the show. They support you. They support free speech, Second Amendment, and they support your protection. They've trained me. They've trained Savannah in how to treat our wounds. And I believe that if we were there next to Ashley, that we could have probably helped save her life. And we definitely could have had a better chance if we had one of these kits and if they did too. Please, guys, don't wait till you're on the floor bleeding or you're at a car accident and you could have done something, but you didn't. Go to refugemedical.com and use that code offensive to get this American-made kit. It is amazing. I'm telling you this. We need to jump into this. So let's go into the official timeline. You know, people talk about how we're not real reporters, which is fine. And it's like a constant defense to like every real reporter that I always send them their own publications. It's like, oh, from PBS, you're not a real reporter. I go, well, PBS NewsHour says we are. And they use our reports and our official accounts. New York Times reporters, you're not a real reporter. Well, we helped construct your official timeline. People were asking why I worked with the New York Times to construct their timeline for free. I worked with them to construct the timeline for Kyle Rittenhouse and it was fair. And I think it was honest. And as much as I don't like the New York Times, the guy that's in charge of this, who I'm not going to out of anonymity, press anonymity, he's very honest and very upfront. And I believe this is an honest timeline. And you got to give credit. There are some good journalists at these publications that still exist.
Mm-hmm. They're rare, but they're there. Definitely.
Yeah, so to put into perspective, they have here at 11:50 a.m., they say a group of Proud Boys is staging on the east side of the Capitol, along with hundreds of Trump supporters. They have them here in orange beanies. Then if you go down here a little bit more, they said at 11:52 a.m., this is all Eastern, Donald Trump Jr. films the president and his inner circle backstage before his father's speech, marveling at the size of the crowd. Now, at 12:17 p.m., about 15 minutes into his speech, Trump calls on his supporters to walk to the Capitol while his speech would go on for another hour. This is about the time, a little bit before this, we left to the Capitol. We didn't leave when he said to walk to the Capitol. We left before that.
We left well before that. That's why we were actually at the front when all of this was going down, because we actually left Trump's speech. I want to say he was talking for maybe 10 to 15 minutes by the time we left.
10 minutes.
Yeah, he was only talking for a very short amount of time, so we didn't really even listen to any of his speech. We started marching immediately.
Right. And this is important to remember, because when he called people to leave, we're going to find out later that they couldn't have arrived at normal walking speed until 6 minutes after the violence started. So this idea that his call to send people to the Capitol was a call for violence is hard to understand in terms of the timeline. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to make the argument about whether he called for violence or not. I'm just saying timeline wise, when we worked on this, it doesn't match up in my understanding of basic, we're trying to record history here, right? This is called reporting. I don't know if people know what that is anymore, but it exists.
Well, again, and I'll say too, as we were marching, we could hear Trump speaking as we were marching with large groups down right. towards the Capitol. So people were already marching well before.
Right, which is why at 12:29 p.m., this is a part of the crowd walking away near the White House towards the Capitol, and that's at 12:29. Then it goes even further, guys, and you got to stick with me here on this timeline. At 12:47 p.m., Capitol Police respond to a report of a pipe bomb at the Republican National Committee building, just a block away from the Congressional building. Another device is later discovered at the nearby Democratic National Committee. Okay, If there was a time to call in reinforcements, I don't know about you, but when pipe bombs are being reported.
Maybe that's the time.
Yeah.
Just maybe.
And they didn't.
Yep. And that's what I'm saying too, Elijah, when we got there, okay, let's not even talk about the Capitol. Let's talk about when we got to the Ellipse and the Washington Monument. Do you remember the moment when we walked up and we looked at the crowd and we both looked at each other and said, we've never seen an event this big in Washington, D.C. We've never seen this many Trump supporters in one place, all here to support the president. This was a huge event. And as soon as you and I walked up, we knew it was going to be, you know, a very momentous day.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be volatile.
Exactly, because there's so many people there.
And there was more security down by the Ellipse than there was up by the Capitol. Mm-hmm. But there was already a rally planned, and they knew people were planning on going there, which is important.
Yep.
Now, they have at 12:49 p.m. that attendees from Trump rally arrive along the perimeter fence. The crowd of Trump supporters already gathered there become more agitated. And, of course, I captured where they were yelling on a megaphone to 1776, the gates.
Yeah.
This is where people, again, question my choice of calling them revolutionaries. It's like, you want me to call someone a girl if they self-identify as a girl. You want me to call Antifa anti-fascist because they identify as anti-fascist. These people are calling for revolution and calling themselves patriots.
Yeah.
And I can't call them what they call themselves because it doesn't fit your narrative. Oh, F off. Really? Really? That's so inconsistent.
And then too, the frustrating part is a lot of people don't realize as we are tweeting these things out, as we're live tweeting breaking news, we are, you know, being tear gassed, pepper sprayed. We're in a mob of people. So we're trying to like type out the news and break news as it's happening in the middle of what felt like a tiny battle. So, you know, you're listening to what they're calling themselves. You're writing it out in the tweet, trying to break the news. And people are mad at you because your editorial style wasn't perfect in the middle of a battle.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry I was there. Are doing my job
actually,
and you're mad
yeah.
how I worded things like okay anyway as if like anyone there could even read my tweets because there was no cell service. Here's what they have: that 4 minutes later at 12:53 p.m. some of the Trump supporters break through the Capitol's other barricades on the northwest side. This moment 20 minutes before Trump's speech ends is captured simultaneously by Elijah Schaefer and Status Coup. And so basically what they're finding here is that 20 minutes before his speech ended, then that's when the violence erupted,
yeah.
Which is an interesting thing. Now, I'm not going to get into here. I'm going to let the listener decide. Definitely at the end of his speech couldn't have caused the violence because this was way before that.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, I think it goes down a little bit here. Well, they don't have, we're not going to go through the whole thing, but they had down the New York Times that people couldn't have arrived until 12:56 or 12:59 p.m., even if they left when he called people to walk to the Capitol. Meaning, this idea that Trump's speech incited the violence is an incorrect statement according to this timeline by the New York Times. If it added to the violence, or as Ian Miles Chong, who's a Malaysian journalist, he lives in Kuala Lumpur, I believe, and he comments a lot on American politics from Asia, and he specifically said that, you know, Trump could have been seen as adding to the violence, like if he maybe got reports or in his ear or something on stage and could have, you know, you could speculate that he sent more people to add fire to the flames.
Let's look at the transcript of what Trump actually said, though, too, because that's important. He said, let's go peacefully march to the Capitol. Remember, you cannot forget that point when Trump called for people to peacefully march. So at no point did he say, we're going to go to the Capitol. We're going to make our voices heard. We're going to scare Congress into making the right choice. He said, we are going to peacefully exercise our rights and walk to the Capitol.
Right.
So even in the transcript of his speech, he's calling for peace.
Right. And I think that that's where it's interesting, though, because I, you know, I'm trying to stay objective in all this myself and not tell people what to think.
Right.
I'm just saying I worked on the timeline with New York Times, and that's why I was gonna say breaking news just came in right now. If you're watching this, you probably already know this, but Senate Majority Leader McConnell said that he's not going to reconvene Senate to impeach Trump or to hear the hearing. So they're not planning on actually confirming his impeachment, even if they order the articles in the House. I'm not sure if they successfully did that. I don't know if any of the producers know that happened right now, but I definitely know that he's not going to be leaving office 8 days before. I don't think it's a good use of resources. I think it's foolish. So let's talk about this. People are saying that this was, you know, random, but we have this video. Let's go ahead and play video two of evidence that the Capitol seizures actually were coordinating while they were in there. This corroborates my story too, that this appeared to be an aggressive attempt to take the building, not considering that the people that swarmed in after the initial people broke in, but the initial people who broke in and the police let them in, these people were not there with peaceful intentions from what I saw. And I don't think they were looking to vacation. I think they were looking to hurt people or at least arrest them. Let's watch video two.
What's the floor plan? That door. There's a door to the right.
That's a cop. Going down the stairs. Back looping around. Door to the left. That's you. We're gonna
get over. Door's already open. We need a plan. We need enough people. We need to push forward.
Okay.
Hey guys, I've been in the other room. Listen to me. In the other room on the other side of this door, right here where these feet are standing, there is a glass that if somebody, if it's broken, you can drop down into a room underneath it. There's also two doors in the other room. One in the rear and one to the right when you go in. So
Tell me what you're doing. Just give me some narrative.
Look for yourself.
We need people. We need people. Come here. People,
God damn it.
All right, there.
So watching this video, Elijah, again, like we talked about earlier in the show, there was multiple angles to this event. There was a peaceful side, but there was also this side, which we are clearly documenting. And I mean, like you just, you know, we were speaking about, why does the media feel like we need to gaslight people on what happened when the evidence is clearly there and we're seeing it in the videos that we took?
Yeah, I know. And that's my point is that I feel like as we're talking about this, maybe people can tell I'm like, I mean, I'm doing as well as I can do when you have all the institutions and people that are supposed to be defending you and supporting you. I mean, even journalists, I can't believe the amount of journalists trying to destroy my life. It's disgusting.
Honestly, like, you know? I just realized there's no more journalists in this country. They're activists. And right now they're using their airwaves, their broadcast time, their articles to actively campaign against every conservative person, whether, you know, you're a private citizen, whether you're a journalist, whether you're a politician, they are intent on, you know, persecuting us to the fullest extent, to be quite honest. That's what it feels like. And that's what we're actually seeing, too.
Right.
It's frustrating.
I'm with you. And that's why, please, guys, remember, if you watch these videos, share them with friends. They keep trying to age restrict these videos. Subscribe below. Share this with five people. We don't have organic reach. Our videos don't go anywhere anymore. They've demonetized this YouTube channel. Like, we need you to share these videos. We need to share them as much as you can. Send them to people. Some of our recent videos, they even took away the share option on a bunch of our last videos. And I got them to put it back on because they're even trying to take away the ability for us to share this truth because they want to rewrite history. They don't want to present it accurately. And I'm not even, and my point is I'm not trying to make these people look good. I'm not trying to make them look bad. I'm just saying, look at what, we have other angles here. And this was, I can tell you what didn't happen. This was not a racist attack on black officers. This was not a random attack that people didn't know about. This was not some sort of a highly coordinated coup. This appears to be some sort of a loosely bonded together attempt by some aggravating extremists to infiltrate and take the Capitol building. Other people didn't realize their ultimate plans. There appears to be people inside that were working in on this, both in the FBI and in the Capitol Police, according to the own testimony by Anna Pressley, or at least suggestions that this is happening. Mm-hmm. This does not appear to be something that was ever going to be successful in terms of what extremists might have hoped it would have accomplished. Our Capitol was definitely underprepared for this. And this is a lesson for our entire country about the state of our republic, the tensions in our nation. And, you know, with Ayanna Pressley saying that she was afraid of, you know, members of law enforcement turning against them inside the House, shows you just how divided we are as a nation. And this should be a question of, why are we so divided? Why does this happen? Why is it that the government is so dysfunctional that if people would either out of negligence allow this to happen, or perhaps intentionally allow this to happen? Why is it that Trump supporters and people that you didn't expect to do this on a national level did this? Mm-hmm. Why is it that extremists are out there on both the left and the right? Like, we have to have these real conversations, but it's just being labeled as everyone who's a Trump supporter is a domestic terrorist. This event is, you know, a failure of neo-Nazis that came in to try to kill black police officers. I mean, it's all, the recording of this is so inaccurate, it makes my blood boil, because they're intentionally avoiding recording the real facts, so we'll never be able to debate this in history. We'll never be able to really look at this from an honest perspective. And you look at this, like, HBO already reached out and it's like, oh, we're doing a documentary on this event, you want to be in it? And it's like, I don't think so. But, you know, how are you, you're already making a documentary on this event? And it's like,
there's already a documentary out by ABC on Hulu. I was shocked.
What?
I was shocked. I went on Hulu the other night and there's already a documentary up on their platform about the Capitol Hill siege of January 6th. And, you know, Elijah, you made a lot of really good points there. And that's my main question. Why is nobody in the media taking a step back and asking why January 6th happened? Mm-hmm. How did we get here? Because again, and I'm going to continue to compare this to BLM and Antifa, because it is the biggest hypocrisy I have ever seen. Why is it that Black Lives Matter and Antifa are rioting because of hundreds of years of systemic oppression and racism, and they have all of these excuses, every single excuse in the book, to justify the burning and looting down of our cities, but when it comes to January 6th, it's just Trump supporters are Nazis and white supremacists, and that's it, point blank, go home. That's the narrative we're running with. No, we need to take a step back and realize how we got to this point. And it is because we have had, again, politicians who have personally called out Trump supporters, called them white supremacists and Nazis and racists. We have had people in the media continuously attack this portion of people. 70 plus million Americans feel like a foreign person in their own country. You've talked about this so many times. They feel persecuted in their own country. They don't have their freedom of speech. They don't feel like their representatives actually stand for their constituents and what they want. They don't feel like Joe Biden legitimately got into office. And if that's the way that they feel, then why is nobody at least taking a step back and talking about that and talking about that angle? Again, the economy's been destroyed by the same Democrat politicians who have continued to go get their hair done, go on vacations, have Thanksgiving with their families. Fauci himself has been one of the biggest hypocrites during this entire thing. They can live their lives normally, but we are supposed to be suppressed down, quieted, silenced, and just the target of, again, political persecution and harassment.
No, and exactly. And that's why I want to remind you guys, too, that this is an important time in our lives. Some of you just want to sit back and relax. And I want to give a huge shout out to this incredible company, this wine company called Bonner Wines. Now, some of you guys are not wine drinkers, but I'm going to tell you, you might become a wine drinker when you try this. Of course, always responsibly, but sometimes you want to sit down, you just want to enjoy a good glass of a nice Malbec. And this company, Bonner Wines, has, to be honest, one of just the best wines I've had in general. This is from a vineyard 9,000 feet up, you know, in the Argentinian vineyards. I mean, this has a full flavored red. And I'm going to tell you, the one thing cool about this wine is that you can go to unfilteredwine2021.com to get 50% off shipping, because you want to get this wine, not just go to the store and get what they have, because it has 90% less sugar than your other wine. So this doesn't leave you feeling all gross and groggy the next day, especially someone like me who works hard. You want to make sure you have something that doesn't, you know, stick with you when you just want to relax. It also has less of the ingredient, 90% less of the ingredient. I always say it wrong. resveratrol, but it's part of what makes you feel hungover. That with the tannins makes you feel kind of gross. But this wine, it just doesn't leave you feeling heavy. It pairs well with any type of dinner. Guys, in this trying time, get a stock of wine. Get it if you like to drink. If you don't like to drink, then buy it for a friend as a gift or as a birthday present. Go to unfilteredwine2021.com. Get 50% off shipping. Please check it out. Don't waste your time buying those cheap wines from the store or spending too much at the store on wines that, you know, why are you spending $55, $75, $100 a bottle? Get a pack of some of the best red wine in America. If you like Malbecs, if you like wine that has a low sugar content, that has a smooth flavor, and I'm telling you, I've given it to people who don't drink wine and they suddenly liked it. So anyway, go to unfilteredwine2021.com. Pick up your wine, 50% off your order. Anyway, it's awesome. I really encourage you to do it. But I want to jump into some of this other parts of this story, like we were saying. So, you know, a lot of these people are trying to rewrite this history. And we have we realize that this is real implications. One of the men who was arrested, this comes from Newsweek, a Georgia man arrested in the pro-Trump Capitol riots actually dies by suicide. It says here that Christopher Stanton, Georgia, a man from the state of Georgia who had recently been arrested for participating in last Wednesday's insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, died on Saturday by suicide after a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the chest. He had been charged with entering certain property that is the United States Capitol grounds against the will of the United States Capitol Police and passed the set Washington, D.C. curfew 6 p.m. local time. He was arrested with three other men in the group. What I'm trying to say here is that, look, he's being charged with something that has some penalties. I think it's just a misdemeanor, from my understanding. But the public pressure of saying that everyone who broke in is a terrorist before we've gone to trial, before we've understood really what people's intentions were, is why I always get afraid of these things. Like, I knew what terrorism was. And I would say that some people at that event committed acts of terrorism, but not all people did. Not all people who entered the Capitol building are terrorists. I think some people went in to commit acts of terrorism according to our own standards. And I think that's why there's importance to have trials. It's very important to have the legal and judiciary system investigate people and, you know, really hold people accountable and try to understand why they were there. You know, were they there to document? Were they there, like, again, as a observer? Did they just walk into an open door and look around the rotunda? Right. Maybe they're not a threat to national security. Maybe they'll get trespassed. Did they steal stuff? Did they hurt officers? Like, what did you do? What was your part in this? That's why there needs to be trials and there needs to be, you know, a jury of peers. But we live in a society where people have already written history before we've even had time to understand what happens. And it has real life implications. An officer killed himself too. This is now the second suicide of people in response to this because the public opinion has already been decided. And it alarms me. Meanwhile, they're trying to silence people who were there. Mm-hmm. No, none of the mainstream media is asking my understanding of what happened. They're using my footage, and then I see they write and tell stories about what's happening, and they never ask for comment.
Yeah.
New York Times did, but they don't ask for comment. And so it's like they don't care for me to tell them, okay, well, here's what was happening before and after. They just make stuff up. And I think a lot more people are going to be committing suicide. A lot more lives are going to be ruined. I think a lot more people are going to be resigning from the Capitol Police because when these kind of events happen, unfortunately, in our country, no one cares to know the truth. This is all about just judgment and pushing popular will for political means, taking out as many of your opposition as possible. If other people die, if more lives are destroyed, if we never learn from this, they don't care. Their goal isn't to learn from this. It's to use this to destroy as many people that they want to as possible on the political opposition. And they will allow whatever collateral damage that happens now or even what will happen in the future because we didn't learn from it. We're not trying. This is their goal. And that's what makes me angry because we could learn from this. This could be prevented. It could have been prevented, but we've never cared. For 10 months, we watched riot after riot happen in our streets. Nobody asked, how do we prevent riots? What do we do about the civil unrest? How do we bring unity in our nation? Everything was just push it under the rug, push it under the rug, push it under the rug. And then it explodes on another political spectrum. And all of a sudden people seem to give a damn. I don't buy their hypocritical virtue signaling to care about riots and terrorism because they haven't cared this entire last year, but also it's like this could have been prevented, but you guys have been manipulating information at the cost of our own lives. And now there's 7 people who have died as a result of this. Many more people could have died simply because you guys have prevented us from actually finding any solutions. And you would hope at this point that maybe we would change our minds and find a solution to this one because this was pretty bad. And all of a sudden it's like, nope, we're going to do the exact same thing we did. We're not going to actually take anything away from this. We're just going to use it for political means. And that's, it's like, and unfortunately our history and what we're bringing to the table will be forgotten because we will make into the history books because we're not a part of the elitist class.
Exactly. We're living on the principle right now of guilty until proven innocent. It used to be innocent until proven guilty, but like you said, it's just persecution of conservatives, persecution of anyone who has ties to Trump, who supported Trump. They're going to make an example of anyone who has supported Trump over the past 4 years because they don't want there to be a populist person in office ever again. They want to make an example of Trump and all of his supporters. They want people to fear using their freedom of speech in this country. And again, like you said, it's extreme hypocrisy. And that is why you and I have been feeling such a frustration, because it's not just the hypocrisy. It's the fact that we saw January 6th happen as a result of this hypocrisy. And what are they doing? They're doubling down on it. What do they think is going to happen? January 6th was already a huge boil over of emotion, frustration from the right. And then what are they going to do? They see the wedge and they're going to continue to drive that wedge even deeper and make those frustrations that are already being felt on the right even deeper. And they're going to keep pushing down on these people. And what do they think is going to happen? Like you said, it's going to lead to more chaos and more divisive events like this. And the media is to blame. Our politicians are to blame. Big tech is to blame, because you cannot keep persecuting one side and then expect them not to finally blow up. Again, January 6th, I unfortunately think we will see more events like this again if the media continues to keep going the way that they are, because they're not helping anyone right now. You know, silencing an entire subset of the population is not helping anyone, and it's not going to lead to good places.
Yeah, and people ask me, well, was it justified or not justified? I go, well, that's not what I do as a reporter. I don't decide moral arguments for people to decide whether something is justifiable. My point is to explain that it is understandable that this happened and that people should have expected this to happen, because this is what happened throughout all of history and what will happen if people continue to do what AOC is calling for. AOC said this in her Facebook, in her live stream, I think it was on Instagram. She said Zuckerberg, which is the CEO of Facebook too, creating recommendation engines, just funneling millions of people into white supremacist groups and organizations. He recommended it. He built the platform for this. He accelerated this, meaning her goal now is not just to clamp down on every area of life. It's to say even the thoughts, then she's saying white supremacists as in Trump supporters and her, you know, anyone who supports Trump. She's saying we need to not just crush, you know, Trump. We need to crush not just MAGA. We need to crush right-wing media. Yep. We need to crush right-wing ideas. And we need to make sure that the history erases these, which is what we'd expect from a communist. AOC is an open communist. She says she's a Democrat socialist. She follows Maoist tendencies. But this is a clampdown. And they will use this to destroy their political adversaries. And I have to say this as we wrap up. We're going to keep updating you guys. We're not going to back down. We're going to keep speaking the truth. No matter what happens, we're not going away. And we will continue to keep our head high. We will stay balanced. And as the noise gets louder and as people continue to berate us with all types of slander and false accusations, we will keep looking to God for our peace. We will keep looking to our faith and to what is important to hold us together. We are not bowing down to the cancel mob. Even when some of those who said they supported us have, I believe that we will all get through this as a nation, and that it's important that we just keep to the facts here and we continue to hold that together. And Savannah, if people can follow you where, if they want to follow you online, I know they took away your Twitter, but they can still follow you some other places, right?
Definitely. YouTube, Sav Says, Instagram at Sav with one N. And of course, you know, we're always cross posting our footage and updates on when our episodes are going to be coming out. So go follow me there. Go follow our YouTube, our YouTube channel, subscribe to that. And then the slightlyoffensive.tv Instagram as well.
Yeah. So anyways, guys, thank you so much again for watching another episode of Slightly Offensive. We'll be back Friday at 2 p.m. approximately Central. We might be off a little bit on our timing and programming because we are a little bit in upheaval, having to broadcast in different places. We're currently in Mark Levin's closet. It smells like mothballs, and it's been a great time. As always, thank you so much again for watching. Please go ahead right now if you are still here. Support us at blazetv.com/Elijah. Getting a membership is the best way to support us, as well as leaving us a 5-star review at Apple iTunes and subscribing on Spotify. Any one of those three ways, very easy, and it doesn't really, the second two don't cost you anything. The first one isn't much. But again, if anything, just share these videos and share with people what's happening. I'm a little bit tired, and I think you are too. And as a nation, we will bond together. Please have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.